Right, Albert.
Amen. We bless the Lord. We just thank God, amen, for all that he's doing. Amen. Fast and prayer are so important. For the word of God says there are some things in our life. There are some challenges. Thank you. Some challenges. Gio's my boy. I said, Gio, bring me some paper towels so I can use them.
All right, look at that.
All in my man,
you got enough.
I said, Gio's my boy. I said, Gio just brought me a handful. He didn't make me leave nothing. That's all right. That's what makes Gio Gio. Ain't nobody else Gio but Gio. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we just bless the Lord for all of his goodness and his mercy. Amen. The scripture says there are some challenges in our life. Listen to this, there's some challenges, amen. Some things we've been praying about, some things that we've been fighting with for a long time. Amen. As the man that had a son who was possessed by the devil, when they brought the man brought the son to the disciples and they could not heal him. And when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he healed him. And the disciples asked, Lord, why couldn't we do it? The Lord said there are some things that only come out by prayer and fasting. Amen. When you know you've been struggling with a situation for a long period of time, the only way that you can get the real advantage is through prayer and fasting. Amen. If you read back in the Old Testament, throughout the history of the church, throughout the history of God's people Israel, when they had their difficult challenges, the Bible said they did what? They fasted and
prayed.
Amen. So fasting and prayer is so important. That's how we incur God's blessings. Amen. So if you really need something bad enough from God, how bad do you want it?
Amen.
Amen. How bad do you want it? Do you want it bad enough to turn the plate upside down? Just think now, let's use some examples for fasting. Amen. When God was dealing with Moses and giving him even the Ten Commandments, Moses went away for how long?
40 days.
40 days and 40 nights. He did what? Fasting. Mm-hmm. Amen. 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord, before he began his ministry, amen, after he was baptized in the Jordan and he came up, the Bible said the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. But said immediately after his example of rebirth for us, it says the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. How long was he in the wilderness? 40 days, 40 nights. That's our next challenge. Who's ready? All right. So you better get us through a week first, right? Amen. But those are examples when you have a spiritual challenge or an example. Those are the examples that we have to follow. Amen. 40 days and 40 nights. And Moses was a blessed man because he didn't do it once, but he did it
twice.
40 days and 40 nights. Because there are some times when you, when in your desperation, you need to hear from God. How many of us need to hear a word from the Lord?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then you got to show God how bad you want it. Well, how do we show God how bad we want it? We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. So we bless the Lord for that. We didn't hear back from them today, but we already know it's done. How many know when we fasted and prayed, it was already sealed? Amen. So we, somebody said, don't you want to call? I said, no, what I need to call to find out what God already showed us.
All right.
Amen. Because we walk by faith,
not by
sight. Amen. So we just bless the Lord. So we probably will hear from them on Monday, the Lord willing. Tonight we have an interesting subject. We're dealing with spirits. Spirits. Amen. But more so than spirits, we're dealing with the discerning of spirits. The most important thing that we need to do in the church is we need to be able to discern the spirit. So we're going to ask you to stand. Amen. And our scripture reading tonight will be coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. And then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 5. And we'll follow that up with Malachi. And then we have several other scriptures. So what we're dealing with, once again, is the discerning of spirits. Spirits are the antagonists, are the opposition to the Spirit of God. spirits or the antagonists or the opposition to the Spirit of God. Amen. The spirit of homosexuality and lesbianism, those are spirits. Amen. The spirit of drug addiction, alcohol addiction, nicotine addiction, those are spirits. Amen. Those spirits work in opposition to God. And one of the biggest spirits that we have is the spirit of deception. Amen. The spirit of deception. So hopefully we'll get far enough. We're going to go tonight, we're going to deal with a righteous, godly king that allowed a bad spirit to influence him to the point that he almost was killed. Amen. So verse 1 reads, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these
dumb idols,
even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus." Speaking by what? The Spirit of God. So we're dealing tonight with the discerning of spirits. "And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the
Holy Ghost."
And the Holy Ghost is a what? Spirit. Amen. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but
same
Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but
same Lord.
And there are diversities of operation, but it is
same God.
Same God. Lord, one Lord, one faith, one baptism." And all these are what?
One.
Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit. The Lord is who? Jesus is the God. They're all one. It's all throughout the Bible. You don't have to look for it. They're what? All one. Amen. "Which, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits." Now that's what we want to stop right there. Tonight, the subject that we want to deal with, what? It's the discerning of spirits. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And can the church say the word of the Lord?
Word of the Lord.
It's blessed already.
You
may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So we're dealing with the discerning of spirits. Amen. There are only two spirits in the whole world. In all of existence, there are only two spirits. The most dominant spirit in our lives should be the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the antagonist and opposition to the Spirit of God is the spirit of the devil. The only two spirits. Everything else are symptoms of the spirits. Amen. Healing, gifts, prophecies. All of that are, those are just part of having the Holy Ghost. And all of these other negative spirits are the spirits of the devil. Amen. Tonight we want to deal with the discerning of spirits. One of the ways that the devil, and you know, I don't know how many of you all remember Pastor David Myers, but he was actually a converted witch. And he never believed in really the Holy Ghost or God or any of that, because he was his whole family for years were witches. So he always worshiped the devil. But then he went to a church service just with a friend, just for the sake of trying to antagonize and challenge the Spirit of God. But how many know there's no spirit like our God?
Right. Come on now.
And as a result of being in the service, he wound up getting saved.
All right.
And then he said he was so surprised to see how much the church practice the occult and Satanism unknowingly. Amen. And that's what his whole ministry was about, trying to expose how the devil always tries to sneak in to the church to get the church to inadvertently worship the devil and think they're worshiping God. That's why Jesus said, beware, let no man deceive you. One of the most prevalent signs of the last time will be the spirit of deception. Amen. Paul warns when he writes to Timothy about the spirit of deception. So tonight, as a church, in our individual lives and in our collective lives, the most important thing we must be able to do is to discern the spirits. Amen. A lot of times, you know, we put ourselves in, as I said, we'll go over it, hopefully we get that far. I don't have my watch, so y'all mess up. It ain't no clock.
You just go on and preach, elder.
Amen. I gotta be able to keep up with time because I don't want you all to get weary on me. Amen. But I want to get to this, how a righteous, godly king that cleansed the kingdom allowed a spirit to influence him. Amen. So let us turn to Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 12 through 14 of Hebrews chapter 5. Tonight, we're dealing with what? The discerning of spirits. Amen. Now, if you have the Holy Ghost, if you pray, when you're in a bad area with a bad spirit, amen, your Holy Ghost alarm always goes off. When you put yourself in a bad place and there's some bad spirits, your Holy Ghost alarm will go off. Now, when the alarm go off, you have to make a choice. Now, if you continue to hang in that presence, that spirit will be transferred to you. Amen. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the what? Unclean thing. Amen. But we said, well, I got the Holy Ghost. I got the power. I can go anywhere. Better read about those seven sons of Sceva.
Come on now, Elder.
they went messing with those spirits. Amen. You can read about it in the book of Acts. And they went and said, we adjure you by the name of Jesus and the God that Paul calls on. The spirit looked at him and said, Paul we know, and Jesus we know. But you ain't got no power. Who are you?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said that spirit jumped on them seven brothers, they went running. You know why? Because they put themselves in a bad place. And they were dealing with something that they didn't have the power to deal with. Amen. We were a little early in our church history, someone was dealing with a situation, and we said, you know what? Leave it alone. Leave that spirit alone, because they knew it was the spirit of witchcraft.
Come on,
I told my wife, tell them to leave that alone, because you don't have no power with that spirit. Because what that spirit would do, you would think it's influencing it, you think you're influencing it, and it'll wind up taking you out to church.
Amen.
For a little while, they sustained themselves. Eventually, they were gone. You know why? In trying to conquer that spirit, they were not yet strong enough to deal with the spirit. So instead of them influencing the spirit,
Spirit
influenced them. Amen. Just like those seven sons of Sceva, you can't go messing with the devil, because the devil is real. Mm-hmm. And his powers are real. But Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 reads, for when for the time ye ought to be. You know what Paul is telling me? He said, you've been saved long enough that people need to stop telling you what to do. You need to know what to do, and then you need to help somebody else. This way, as long as you've been saved, now I'm not picking on anybody, I'm just telling you what Paul said. Can we say what Paul said? So y'all can't get mad at me, amen? So I see Sister Tennessee, she's like, what is he talking about now? He said, a time when ye are to be teachers, amen, when you are to be setting the examples for others, you have need that one teach you again. He said, you need to go back to the principles, first principles. You need to go back to the basics. Amen. And that's why he tells them in chapter 6, it's time for us to leave the principles and go on to perfection. Amen. principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of
strong meat.
Amen. Now, once again, we're dealing with the discerning of spirits. Now, you should be in a position where you're helping someone else, but you have a need to be taught. And it's not because the Spirit of God in you is not helping you, because we just read, and before we went down a little further, God's Spirit helps us according to the several ability, or according to the way that you put yourself in a position for the Spirit to help you. But if you don't put yourself in a position for the Spirit to help you, and then you go compromise messing with a lot of other spirits, those spirits, the devil is shrewd. Listen, the devil is so wise. What he tries to do is to get you in an area because he knows you're not strong enough to defeat him. So what he gets you to do, he said, wow, you are casting me out. But really, he's casting himself in. So he wants you to think that you are influencing when all along he is. Hey, give me another mic. I don't know why there's a problem. When all along he is influencing. Amen. So he said, and I become such as have need of milk and not of
strong meat.
If you've been saved any time, it's time to go on for the church, to go on to perfection. Amen. It's time to move it up another notch. Amen. I think it's number 4. Amen. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the
word.
You know, you look at someone, amen, and they've been saved for some time, and you look at them and you say, wow, you should be beyond that. Not that we're trying to judge, but we know what the word says. Amen. If any of you, now, Zoe's how old? 1 year old? 1.5 year old, right? So we expect her to act like a 1.5 year old, amen? But if you see someone 35 or 40 walking around acting like a 1.5 year old, you tell them to do what?
Grow up.
Come on, it says natural, right? You do what? Grow up. Amen? Well, Paul is saying, you know what? You've been in church long enough. It's time to
grow up.
Time to grow up, amen? You need to stop allowing the devil to play in your mind to make you act like you are 1.5 years old. Amen. Now, if any of y'all are over 1 year old or 2 years old, if you see an adult walking down the street with a pacifier in the mouth, you know what?
Something wrong.
Come on, y'all.
I mean, right there.
Right there. Is that a normal situation? You got a what? I walk down the street with a big old bottle, right? You say what? You need to do what? Yes, in the natural, so in the spirit. We've been saved long enough. We need to get off the milk. In other words, you need to stop sucking that bottle. Amen. It's time to grow up. We need to go to the meat. Amen. The next verse reads, but strong meat belongs to them that are of even those who by reason of
use.
Now, we're dealing with the discerning of spirit. So now you have had enough experiences to know the stuff that messed you up.
Right.
He said, by reason of use, all right? Have their senses exercised. You've been through that enough to know what to do and what not to do. Amen. Exercise means you've gone through this repetition enough that you should know how to discern between the spirit of good and the spirit of evil. How those that have gone off the milk and on the meat. But if you're still on the milk and you've been saved for any period of time, your senses have not been yet exercised. Or you haven't learned from your experiences how to discern between the spirit of God and the spirit of the devil. That those, how many spirits? Two. Good and evil. Good is who?
God.
Come on, good is?
God.
Everybody know that evil is?
Yeah.
Well, have our senses been exercised enough to discern between God and the devil? Amen. I'm going to skip that one, that scripture. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Now, we're discerning of what?
Spirits.
There are so many spirits that are going out into the world. There's not one spirit These bad spirits all proceed from the devil. There are many spirits that are going on to the world. John 4, 1 reads, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but what? You have to discern the spirit. You know, amen. You know if you're going to run somebody with the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of envy, the spirit of wrath, the spirit of I just don't care. You have to do what? Discern the spirit. Then you say, you know what? I'm trying to help them. Be careful with those spirits. Because if you're trying to help that spirit will overtake you. Amen? It says, try the spirit, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, we just read that in 1 Corinthians as well. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Well, ye have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he. What is in us? The Holy Ghost. That is God's spirit. Is it the spirit of God in you is greater than any spirit that's in the world if you allow the spirit of God to work in you. But remember, God doesn't make us do anything. Amen. God will not make us do anything. So if we put ourselves in a compromising situation, amen, a situation where our conscience is condemning us, God's spirit is trying to redirect us. But we keep ourselves in a situation, amen, and we've seen that happen hundreds and hundreds. I've been saved for 30-something years, 76, and that's how much. Wow, I've been saved almost 40 years. I've been saved more than some of y'all are old. So right down south, we used to say, good God Almighty. But I used to say that when I used to preach, but it messes with me so much. I don't see it, but Lord, no, one day we'll get back to that. But 38 years, you've seen a lot of things, amen. You've seen a lot of people messing with stuff they should not have been messing with. I'm talking about some spiritual warriors, amen, putting themselves in compromising situations, thinking they could help someone else, and then they wind up gone. Now, yeah, what happened? That's the devil's ploy, amen. A couple of years ago, we went over, watch out, it is a setup. Watch out, it's a setup. You think you're helping somebody else. Yes, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And all along, the devil's like, I'm breaking them down.
Yeah.
They get weaker, and they get weaker. The way the things they used, wouldn't you never think in the past, they're now thinking. They're going places, in their right minds, they were never gone. They're entertaining things in their right mind, have never done. Well, and then you look at yourself and say, what's wrong with me? What's your environment? What is your environment? Spirits are real. Amen. Now, when we have to go to certain areas and we have to go, God protects us. But when we put ourselves in areas that we should not be in, God said, you know better. You should have your senses exercised enough to know the difference between good and evil. Amen. So he said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are the world, therefore speak they of
the world.
Amen. We are saved as a child of God. We should always speak of God. Amen. We're not of the world. Amen. The Bible says friendship of the world is what?
Enmity
with God. We are not of the world, therefore the world knoweth us. The world doesn't know us. So we don't speak of the world. Amen. And trying to get people saved, you know, like they say, yeah, well, the only reason I go into the bars is because I want to get them saved. Amen. You don't have to go to the bars to get them saved. Because when you go to the bars, every time you go to a liquor store, what do they call liquor stores now?
Spirits.
Spirits. Amen. Even the world knows that's a what? Spirit. But then we say, oh, well, we can go in heaven. No, that spirit that you're trying to help will overtake you. Amen. And the Bible told the children of Israel, he said, beware. Amen. If you do not keep all the commandments, amen, and your disobedience, all those things that were going to overtake you as a blessing will now overtake you as a curse. When we are disobedient to God and to the word of God, the things that should have been a blessing and overtaking us to take us to God will become a curse, will overtake us and bringing us down. Well, that's the challenge in the discerning of spirits. And verse 6 says, we are of God. He that knoweth God,
he with us.
Even in church, there's a whole lot of people in church. They ain't for God. Amen. There's a whole lot of people in church. They're not really in church to be saved. A whole lot of people in church. They're not here because they love God. It's a whole lot of people in church that the devil has set there as a ploy, as a tool to bring you down.
Amen.
And then what they do is they try to get close to you. Now this is how the devil works. They try to get close to you, and then they start off so, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. But then behind the closed doors, there's a whole nother them. That person is not of God.
That's right.
Amen. Because a person of God is of God all the time. So you got somebody that's shouting in church on Sunday and drinking and cursing and doing everything else on Monday and the rest of the week, that's not of God. You say, well, that's my friend. Amen. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye what?
Separate.
So you say, well, but that's my friend. But what spirit do they have?
Come on, Elder.
That might be your friend, but if that spirit is of such and it's a negative, you need to come out from among them. Mm-hmm. He says, touch not the unclean thing. And then Paul said, well, what fellowship has light with
darkness?
You're saved, you're supposed to be the one of the world.
Light of the world.
A sinner that's not saved is in darkness. How can you be saved? And this is what the Bible says about Jesus. Jesus was the light of the world, and the light could, and the darkness could not comprehend it. In other words, the darkness could not overtake the spirit of God and Jesus because he was the light of the world. How do we put ourselves in darkness? Amen. And think that we're going to help them. Now, to be a light is one thing. That means I come, I go. But if I come and I stay, and I know that spirit is wrong, I remember years ago, I hadn't seen one of my cousins in a long time. Long, long time. Y'all were little kids then. Amen. Little kids. So y'all won't remember. But I hadn't seen my cousin in quite a few years. I was like, wow, let me go upstairs and see my cousin. He was right upstairs in the house, apartment above us. I ran upstairs and I was up there less than a minute.
Yes, sir.
Wrong spirits. Everything was wrong. Walked in the door, the gun laying on the table. I'm like, what is that for? I'm like, well, I did. I said, oh, I see you're busy. I'll see you later. Guess what? I never went back there. When I walked in and saw the gun, that gun told me something. Amen.
Amen.
I ain't gonna sit down there. I shouldn't be saying this. I ain't, but I mean, I'm not gonna sit down there and entertain a wrong spirit. A gun there, and then somebody's over that room smoking. Like, it didn't take me longer than a couple seconds. I just came in to say hello and goodbye. And especially when he said some crazy thing like, I haven't seen you in a long time, I want to shoot you.
Right? There ain't no place to
oh,
be.
Oh, this is my cousin. Let me sit here. No, you know what? I said, whoosh. Lord, I messed up this time.
I got the gun.
Let me go that way again. You know what we do? We sometimes those situations we put ourselves in it. We know everything is going the wrong way, and we stay there.
Yes.
Why? Can't we discern between good and evil? Amen. Let me get to the end of this because I need to. I'm going to skip because I'm not going to be able to do everything because y'all got me on the clock.
You preach on, Elder.
Amen. He says, "We are of God." He that knoweth God, heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us. Now when you're of God, hereby know we the what?
Spirit.
When you're who? And the
spirit of error.
Well, who's the spirit of truth? God. Who's the spirit of error?
Devil.
How can you not discern the difference if you are God? Amen. It's like, I was dealing with a preacher years ago, and the preacher was talking, and I guess that's why you shouldn't clown around too much. The Bible talks about jesting and all that foolish talking, right? So I was talking, and his mother was a powerhouse in the gospel. And we were talking, he's like, yeah, Billy, you know what I'm getting ready to do? I was like, well, he said, man, I love my Cadillac. I said, oh, really? Yeah, Cadillac's all right. He said, he's not married. He said, yeah, I'm going to take my Cadillac, and me and this girl, we're going out. I was like, praise the Lord, and goodbye.
Back in Jesus. That's
right. You know what? I didn't laugh with that foolishness.
That's right.
He said, I knew that against you off the phone. I said, you were absolutely right. Goodbye. You know, I don't think I ever talked to him again after that. You know why? I can't allow that spirit.
Man.
Gonna go somewhere out on a beach, ungodly, sensual, devilish. I'm not gonna laugh at that.
That's
like,
right.
Goodbye. You know, to this day, I never spoke to him again after that. Whether by design or what.
Divine design.
I don't know if it's divine design or what, but guess what? I knew. I'm like, whoa. I'm not going to defile my mind, my conscience with your garbage. Oh, yeah. I said, yeah, you're right. Goodbye. I'm going to laugh at that? Who am I going to laugh at that? That's ungodly. I can discern the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. So what am I going to do? They talk, I go, and keep, no. You know why? Because you open yourself up to a bad spirit.
Right.
Amen. Now let's go, I do have more scripture. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. I know right now, I think that's what it is. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Now, how many know Jehoshaphat was a godly king?
All right.
Jehoshaphat was a godly king. Amen. If you read in chapter 17 of 2 Chronicles, it talks about how Jehoshaphat went through and cleansed all the ungodliness, and he got rid of all the idols. Amen. So he was God. He was God's man for the hour. Amen. Then we're going to have to go between 2 Chronicles 18, and we're going to go, at the end, we'll go to 1 Kings chapter 21 and chapter 22, just to show you what he allowed himself to be influenced by. Because he put himself in a bad situation. He was in it, and he could have got out. Amen. So let's go quickly in. Chapter 18, verse 1 reads, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honors in abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab. Now, you know what the spirit of Jezebel, Ahab was married to Jezebel. When you talk about the spirit of Jezebel, that was really the spirit of witchcraft. Now, when this word affinity means that Ahab allowed his son to marry Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. How are you cleansing everything else than you're allowing your offspring? You can't stop them. But back then, those parents had more power than we got today.
Amen.
When they said no, they meant
no.
No. Amen. How did you allow godly King Jehoshaphat? How did you permit your son to marry into the spirit of witchcraft? Ahab and Jezebel. So they joined affinity. Amen. Now remember, the devil always works to break you down. So now he joins affinity, and verse 2 says, and after certain years, go down to verse 3 says, and Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he asked him, I am as
thou art.
He wasn't as he was. Jehoshaphat was a godly king. Ahab was ungodly. And we're going to read it in 1 Kings. God said, you're so bad. You're the worst of the worst as kings. How are you going gonna say, I am as thou art. You know what? He put himself in a bad situation because of a relationship. Amen?
That's right.
Y'all ain't helping with this.
Yes, sir.
Right. And he said, I am as thou art, and my people as
people.
Read chapter 7. He cleansed Judah of all that idol and ungodliness, and Ahab carried on the sins of Jericho. They had idolatry. He committed murders. He did everything. As a matter of fact, that's when Elijah went against Ahab with the prophets of Baal. How is he saying, your people are as my people? Relationships. Mm-hmm. Amen. Was he a godly king? Yes. But he permitted himself. He did not use his spirit of discernment. So now he's permitting himself to be in a bad, can we say a bad situation?
Bad situation.
Amen. He's in a bad situation. And he said, and we will be with thee in war. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, but let's get somebody to pray first. Let's pray. So he's still trying to be godly. How many know you can't do anything godly when you feel ungodly present?
Why? That's right.
If you're going to pray, get away from that spirit. Because that spirit will wind up almost destroying you as it did Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together the prophets, 400 men, and said unto them, shall we go up? They said, oh yeah, go up, king. God is going to give you the victory. And verse 6, but Jehoshaphat said, hey, wait a minute. Now he's using his godly mind. Now he know God does not work like that.
That's right.
When you need God, you don't need no 400 men. Amen. Because Jehoshaphat was used to a prophet. He was used to one man that could inquire of God and give him an answer. So everything is pointing the wrong direction. Why did Jehoshaphat just leave? Why didn't he go out? Because of a relationship. Amen. Because of a marriage. You have to watch relationships because those are the tools of the adversary to get the advantage of you. And he said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Joseph's spirit said, that ain't God right there. He said, we need a prophet. Amen. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. How many?
One man that we can
inquire of the Lord. So Ahab knew this man could hear from God. But he surrounded himself with a whole lot of bad spirits. False prophets. Amen. He said, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Wait a minute. Joseph, whoa. Right? We're talking about what? Discerning spirits. Right now, Joseph says, wait a minute. You hit a man of God.
Man of God, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
Come on. Can somebody help me? You hate a man of God, and you say he can inquire of God, and you hate him?
Something wrong there.
God for me to do what?
Let's go.
But he watched, stayed there.
Stayed there.
Watch the spirits. They will influence you. Amen. He said, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good unto me, but always evil. The same as Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king. Now he's trying to correct a bad spirit. Remember, the devil sets you up so he can eventually overcome you. The devil sets you up to think you are helping. It's my family. It's this. If it's bad spirit, it's a bad spirit. Amen. I think in Proverbs chapter 4, it talks about avoid it, pass not by it. He says, go from it. What is it? A bad spirit. We don't have time to go there. All y'all read about it because y'all passed Proverbs chapter 4 anyway. So y'all read it.
Amen.
And you go to Proverbs chapter 4, you read it, right? Verse 5 or 6. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat sat at the throne. We go to the next verse. And this is one of the false prophets said, drive him out, and God's going to be with you. Once again, Zedekiah is a false prophet. Keep going. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up, Ramoth-Gilead, and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messengers that went to Micaiah said unto him, behold, the words of the prophets declare good. Now, you can't tell a man of God what they're saying. Amen. This ain't Balaam. You can't tell him what to say. To the king with one assent, let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God said, that will I speak. Sunday, we said, if we will stand for God, then God will. He's what? The only one. But he made a what? Stand for God. Amen. And when the king, when he was come to the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go up to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hands. Amen. Next verse. And the king said unto him, you gotta try to discern this. This is a bad situation. Yeah. This is really bad. Right? Because all the prophets have been saying, go up and fight. So Micaiah, there's something about the way he said it, the king knew. He's mocking me. Right? He's like, oh yeah, go up. You know, he's like, go ahead up and fight. So from that, Ahab said, wait a minute. Don't mock me. And he says, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth? So he says, I know what you tell me is what? It's going to be the truth. He said, say nothing but the truth to me. So whatever you tell me, I know is what?
The truth.
The truth. So if he said, what you tell me is the truth, he said, those other 400 were doing what?
Lying.
Follow this whole thing out. This is a, when things just don't make sense. This don't make sense. But the truth to me, and this is what sealed the deal to let you know he's talking about God. In what?
In
the name of the Lord. So he knows that whatever Micaiah was saying to him was what? In the name of the Lord. Then said, he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountain as sheep that have. You know, he said, I see Israel there on the mountain, but their shepherd has been destroyed, signifying that he's going to die. He said, and the Lord said, these have, let them return therefore every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did not I tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me? Now, what kind of mind does he have? He just said, I know you don't do nothing but tell me the truth in the name of the Lord. And because he didn't hear what he wanted to hear, because his itching ears were not satisfied, the name of the Lord, he said, now is evil. Discerning the spirit. Now, Jehoshaphat is watching all of this. So by now, what should Jehoshaphat have done? That's why we have to watch the conditions, the circumstances we put ourselves in. And again, he said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. So God is on the throne with all of the heavenly hosts. Amen? This is in a vision. God is showing him before he got there. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at
Gilead?
He's telling him, saying, if you go up, you're going to do what? Fall, you're going to die. He said, who has enticed Ahab? Don't it seem like somebody should have been putting on some brakes? Mm-hmm. Amen? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another after that manner. Then there came out a
spirit.
You know, the spirit is not of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This is not to God. And stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a
lion.
Now, Micaiah is telling him the vision that God showed him. And he said, you don't know that you speak nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord. He's showing that you're going to go up and fall. What should Ahab have done? What should Jehoshaphat have done a long time ago? But he what? Stayed there. Amen. He said, well, how did that spirit get there? How did Satan go up before God about Jehoshaphat? Right?
That's right.
So the devil knows how. And if you read about it in Revelation chapter 12, he's accused of the brethren. The Bible says he was cast out. The Bible calls him that dragon, that serpent, the devil, the great deceiver of all the world. That spirit is a spirit of deception. Amen. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Micaiah said, this is the vision the Lord showed me concerning you, Ahab. That you're gonna, he's gonna entice you, and they're gonna prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord had put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil against thee. Now he's standing alone, but he's telling them what? The word of God. Amen. Now the spirit of discernment should have first gotten Jehoshaphat out of there, and Ahab should have listened. I'm going to speed up now. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, came there and smote Micaiah upon the devil. Don't like when you tell the truth. Amen. The devil don't like the truth. And said, which way he went?
The spirit of the Lord coming from speaking to you.
How are you going to mock the messenger of God? Amen. And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return. Now, Micaiah already told him, he said, you're not going to come back. God has showed me that you're going to die. Israel is going to be upon a mountain with no master and no leader. Now he's going to say, take him back. Now is Jehoshaphat watching all of this?
Yes.
Amen. He sees this. Amen.
Amen.
So you know what? That by this time, all of us in our right mind would have been saying what? I'm going the other way. Right? In our right mind.
Amen.
But when you allow the spirit, that's why I say you can't hang around a bad spirit too long, because in all of your godliness, that bad spirit will influence you. Amen. And Micaiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the law spoken by me. And he said, hearken all ye people. So the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. Now watch what Jehoshaphat does. Watch what Ahab does. Now, Jehoshaphat is in a bad situation. He was discerning. How is he allowing the spirit now to manipulate him into doing the wrong thing? Amen? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go to battle, but put thou on
my robe.
You're going to fight. Why are we going to change clothing? Manipulation. Mm-hmm. When you don't get yourself out of a bad situation, the devil goes, make you go from bad to
worse.
Jehoshaphat already said, all your prophets and prophets out of lie. He's watched Micaiah tell them of the vision that the Lord said that they want to be destroyed. And he knew that he was a man of God. And they say he spoke in the name of the Lord. Why is he still there? Why is he now allowing that bad spirit to influence him? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He said, but put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went to the battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariot that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the
king of Israel.
Only one they was to fight with was Ahab. Amen. But this is how, now, Ahab knew. Mm-hmm. He said, and then this is why Jehoshaphat should have called this Ahab as well. He said that the king of Israel is going to die, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to die. So I'm going to address the king of Judah like the king of Israel. I'm going to set him up, let him die, and I'm going to live. Mm-hmm. Jehoshaphat should have been saying, wait a minute.
Yeah, there's something wrong with
right?
That.
But when you put yourself in a bad situation, you cannot discern between right and wrong, and between good and evil. He should have been saying, I need to go the other way. So they're exchanging roles. Why? Because Ahab figured, hey, let him die, I'm going to live. Mm-hmm. Amen? I'm going to speed up. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the
king of Israel.
Amen. So what are they going to do?
Kill him.
So Jehoshaphat, because he wouldn't get out of a bad situation, because he thought he could help a bad spirit, is about to be killed. Amen?
That's right.
Amen. This ain't a movie. Therefore, they comfort him about to fight. But Jehoshaphat, he was crying out like a woman now.
Come on, Alan.
Jehoshaphat cried out in such a way, they said, wait a minute. And the Lord helped them, and God moved them to say, wait a minute, this ain't the king. There's something about that cry. You know, why did he have to do that? Because he allowed himself to be in a what? Bad situation that he should have been out of a long time ago. Amen. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariot perceived, this is not the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was doing some serious crying out. Amen. This war. That ain't the king. But our artists are to fight only with the king. So God intervened because of the good that Jehoshaphat had done. But did Jehoshaphat have to be in that position?
No, certainly.
All along he said, wrong, 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 wrong. One wrong is enough to make you leave, but wrong, 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 and you're still here.
Okay.
You have to discern between good and evil, between a bad spirit and a good spirit. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at the venture, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Now, what did Micaiah tell him? He said, you're not going to make it. He said, you're going to what? This is the man of God. Why are you mad at the man of God for trying to get you to do the right thing so that you don't die? Amen. So he smote him and he died. Now let's go to 1 Kings chapter 21 quickly. I'm just going to show you this fulfills a prophecy because Jehoshaphat was so, Ahab, not Jehoshaphat, was so bad. But if you go to chapter 19, God reproves Jehoshaphat. Just you can read it on your own time. He said, why did you say that? He said, why would you help the ungodly? Why would you put yourself in that position, Jehoshaphat? And so the Bible says the wrath of God was against Jehoshaphat. Nevertheless, because of the good things that he had done, God was merciful unto him.
Amen.
But he said, why would you help the ungodly? Why would you permit yourself to be in an ungodly environment that you knew was wrong when you kept saying, this isn't right, that's not right, this isn't right. And then you change roles. And then God said, if I had not intervened, you would have died. How many times have we put ourselves in those kind of positions that if God had not intervened, because we did not discern between good and evil and right and wrong, but God's mercy, amen. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 21. We're going to read verses 15 through 19. Now, just to give you a little history before that, Naboth had a vineyard, and Ahab wanted the vineyard, but Naboth would not sell Ahab the vineyard because of his family lineage for so many years. He said, I cannot do this. This is my family's vineyard. I will not sell the vineyard. So his wife, Jezebel, had them tell lies against him, and they took Naboth off and stoned him. And then she said, okay, now you can go up and take the vineyard. All right, so this is where we're at now. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard. Now this is just a lot of iniquity. Iniquity is when you plot to lie, to do the wrong thing, and then make it look good.
Amen.
That's iniquity. What David did when he killed, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, to cover it up, he had Uriah killed. That's iniquity. Because you're planning to cover your sin. That's iniquity, amen? And Uriah took possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. But Naboth is not alive, but dead. This is all their plan, just like Ananias and Sapphira. You can't lie to God. You can't play with God and think you're going to come out all right. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that he arose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. And now God's going to get involved, because God is watching all this ungodliness. God sees everything. You can pretty it up and toot-shoe it all you want. God said, I see everything. Amen?
Amen.
And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, was Elijah there? No. But Elijah knew how to get in contact with God. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in, God is telling him where he's at. He's in the vineyard of Naboth, where he is going down to possess. He said, he's going to possess. He said, Elijah, I want you to go down to the vineyard. Amen. Because what Ahab and Jezebel did was wrong. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Amen. So now God pronounces judgment on Ahab for the wrong that he done.
Amen.
So now we read in chapter 18 of 2 Chronicles that Ahab is shot with an arrow and die. Amen. Now let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22, and we're going to read verses 34 through 38. There's a whole lot in between. We can't stay here all night. Maybe we can. Amen. We can't stay here all night. But what I'm saying, Ahab was bad, bad, bad. His reputation was bad. Every prophet that was in touch with God knew he was bad. God warned Jehoshaphat. God allowed Jehoshaphat to say, why did he stay in that situation when everything about Ahab was bad? Amen. Verse 34 of 22. It says, now this is when they're at war. This is the, another account of the same war. In 2 Chronicles chapter 18, it only says he got shot, but it doesn't fill in the other details. Kings fills in more details. Now, Elijah has said, in the place where they licked the blood of Naboth, where they licked your blood. Amen. Because it was wrong what he had done. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness, which we just read. Amen. Wherefore he said unto the drivers of the chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians, and died at evening. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst
of the chariot.
And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city, and every man to his own. Man, remember when God ever said, he said, the people are going to return in peace. But you what? You're not going to return. God had warned Ahab, but Ahab did not want to hear from the Lord. So the king died and was brought to Samaria,
And they buried the king in Samaria, in verse 38. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria.
He's thinking about Samar wrestlers.
Amen. Washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and what?
And also
the same place where you killed a righteous man that had done no wrong. Elijah told him, said, the same place where you killed them, you shed his blood, and they licked his blood. God. Now, that's pretty much it, all right? But what I'm saying is, all of this negativism and all of this bad spirit with Ahab, how did a godly king go to 2 Chronicles 19. We're just going to read this. I read it over time, so I might as well just stay the course.
Go on, Elder.
I want to finish here, but what I'm trying to get us to see is we got to discern when we're in a bad situation, and you got to get out of it. Amen. Don't stay, don't force yourself to be in a position when God is sending you warning after warning, and you stay there. Amen. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem after he put himself in a what? Bad situation. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help who? You thought you were helping them? How are you going to help somebody that won't even hear from God? Jehoshaphat, how are you going to help a person that wouldn't even listen to the man of God? He said, how are you going to help the ungodly? You can help people, but you can't help someone if they don't want to hear from God. He said, Jehoshaphat, you almost died. Why? You placed yourself in a bad situation. And you saw and knew that all those false prophets was prophesying wrong. You saw the vision that I gave my prophet Micaiah. You saw that Ahab was going to be destroyed. Then you allowed yourself to be duped into wearing his clothes so that you would be killed. How are you going to help them, God? Can I get a praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
And love them that
hate the Lord.
Hate the Lord.
God is man. He said, hey, I don't care who your family is. Now, I'm not promoting anti-family. Don't get it wrong. We're talking about a spiritual position.
Amen.
We have to deal with family, but if family is not doing the right thing, if you go in there and they're playing a bunch of, got seances and all that stuff, and Ouija boards and all that stuff, so I ain't gonna play, I'm just gonna watch. That spirit will get on you.
Try it, Elder.
You have to guard yourself against spirits. Tonight we're talking about discerning the spirits to the what? Church. Amen?
Amen.
Love them and hate the Lord. Therefore is
wrath upon
them. Let us stand. We're dealing with the discerning of spirits. And we're dealing with doing the right thing before the presence of God. Jehoshaphat almost lost his life as the elders, the ministers, and all the workers come forward. Jehoshaphat almost lost his life because he refused to respond to the discernment. He saw, he knew, but he stayed in a bad situation. The question tonight is, can we discern between the Spirit of God and the spirit of the devil? And in discerning, what are we doing with what we see? Are we still in a situation that we know is so ungodly, that we know that God is not pleased? Amen. Are we still in one of those positions? It's time for the church to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. It's time for us to stop touching so many unclean things. It's time for us to allow the Lord to have his way. Amen.